Osiris.
Hey, this is Brendan from Umphrey's McGee. This podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts, connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Osiris works in partnership with Relics Magazine.
Osiris.
We're ready.
Well, I thought Apple was going to do one.
Do one what?
Load.
That's how it sounds.
I don't. You. You choose.
You
choose.
You choose.
Choose.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
You pick it, man. I mean, there's like one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, nine different kinds of herb in that.
I was gonna say
in that thing, and for me to actually pick, I don't. That's you know me. It's all cannabis to me. I don't.
That's not. Then smoke some of the store's
hammer. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Here I take
is.
That back.
It's. Here it is.
I don't. But that stuff's like crack.
No, it's not.
You haven't
There's
even tried it.
There's actually a strain called green crack, and this.
I
is not
see
it.
The two of you after you smoke that, and it's like watching
getting
people go insane.
Done. We're this, getting
yeah,
shit
Thor's
done.
Thor's hammer is about getting shit done.
Uh huh.
You need to do your yard work. Thor's hammer.
Yep.
You want to go play with
you
your niece and nephew?
You haven't touched in a year.
Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
Mm-hmm.
What is Thor's hammer?
Oh, God. Here we go. Hey, now, No Simple Road family, welcome back. You're on the porch with us. It's Aaron and Mel and Ryder and Apple. And, you know, we had to put Darwin in the house this week because
he
came out here
asshole.
And he stepped on my foot. Yeah. He spilled my coffee on my phone and in the speaker of the computer, and then he stepped on Melanie's foot. So he is banished from the porch for the time being. But that's okay. We're all here. Mel's choking. It's cool.
It's
a Mother's
hammer.
Day bowl.
By the way, Thor's hammer.
Speak up, Apple.
Thor's hammer. Oh. Thor's hammer is genetic from Vortex, Cinderella 99, and Acapulco Gold.
Like the real, like back in the day, Acapulco Gold?
Yeah. It's
wow.
Like a bolt of lightning commanded by the Norse god himself, Thor's hammer delivers an electrifying blast of cerebral energy that awakens creativity and motivation.
And yes, it does.
I can only
take one hit of that.
You
right
guys
now.
Hit it the other day,
and within two
Ryder
minutes,
was
they were pacing,
carving a
no,
tree
literally,
trunk.
We were sitting down, and I. The next thing I knew, I was standing up swinging this giant Christmas tree trunk that we'd stripped. Like,
you
I
even
didn't
knowing
even
it.
Realize it happened. I was just swinging.
And that's when that dance video that you posted, that dance video of me dancing.
That was good
and
stuff.
Eating fruit. Like,
so,
it was amazing.
Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers
happy
out
Mother's
there.
Day.
Thank you. And for real, happy Mother's Day to all you amazing women out there. Especially my mommy. So my mommy came last week and she came on Cinco de Mayo and we had a little fiesta for her. And it was amazing, really cool time. I'm sure for her to see both her daughters living on their own in this beautiful city, full of love. And so, Mom, my Mother's Day present to you is my life. And I'm really proud of it. And thank you for teaching me how to be an awesome woman.
Yeah, thanks, Susie.
And what about Grammy?
So my mom told me she was proud of me today.
Aww.
I like that. That's cool. That's a cool thing to hear. I don't care how old you are. 46 years old. Still feels good to have my mom tell me she's proud of me.
Yeah.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
And I'm proud of your mom. She's...
Dude, my mom was a fucking trapeze artist that did flips in the air and travel with the circus.
That woman
That's
can handle anything.
That's the least of what she's done,
I
too.
That woman can handle anything.
She had a baby at like 45.
I mean, yep. Dang. You talk about like
and
one end
16,
of the...
16 or yeah. However old
yeah.
she was.
Like... Way to go, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Love you.
Well, I mean, you didn't say very complimentary things just there, but...
And she made it through and is a wonderful person now. She,
amazing.
Like a beautiful...
So me and my mom have had our beef in the past. I wasn't the most... I don't even know what the word is. I wasn't the best kid growing up. I was,
when I met Aaron...
I was a bit of an asshole.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes,
yeah,
you were.
Listen, when I met Aaron, he was 25. 5, and I was convinced that his mom was the most awful person in the universe.
Like Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, like this totally cold woman that had no heart and kicked her son out.
Kicked
and
puppies.
Was just, you know, involved in this new life and couldn't be bothered. And that was the furthest thing from the truth. Like, she was in a different place. And I wanted to just say all of that to say is that she really has become the most beautiful person I've ever known in these last 20 years of being with my husband.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
Just throw in there too. She is beautiful.
She had a son that was a junkie.
Yeah, but I didn't know that at the time, so it was a one-sided.
Well, no,
story.
I'm saying now, like, she had to deal with a lot of shit, man. Yeah. And so her and I had our beefs, and my last visit to Vegas a few months ago, or a month ago, I don't know, time's weird. We squashed our beef, finally, after all this time.
Squashed
my
beef.
I think maybe you squashed my
I
beef.
I squashed my beef with your mom's.
I was going to say, Erin had a whole lot more beef. She had like a little side plate of like chicken, maybe.
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool. And Mother's Day is special because I guess without moms, none of us would fucking be here. And wherever you are, you know, you're there because of your mom. So,
yep.
If your mom's around, give her a call. Tell her you love her.
Yeah, because I fucking love it. Simon got me ginger chews. And I think that now that I'm a mom, I realize when mothers would say, it's the thought that counts. Like, it's what it really is like he was out at the beach with his friends and then he brought me something that like he was thinking about me when he was with his friends. Period. That's the gift right there. But then there was like another action that happened and it's these ginger chews. And I had one this morning right before the podcast and it was delicious.
And that was funny. I thought you said gender chews. I'm like sitting here thinking, wow, that's very Portland.
It's a gender chew.
Ginger chew.
Some of them are both. Some, you know, it just depends on which chew you pull out of the bag, bro.
Okay.
Come on, Apple. Keep up. You're
Makes
out of your
sense.
Element, Donnie.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, that's actually poignant for today's interview that's coming up here as soon as we're done rambling because
this is a tribute to mom, this is really actually a really good one for
Mom's Day.
We didn't even hear about sweetie little heart Joy.
Ooh. Oh my
yeah
mom.
Way to go Apple.
Well,
right
you guys
on
were
cue
high. I didn't know I was allowed to talk.
Well, he's over here loading a bowl that he said that he wasn't gonna smoke.
No, it's
he was hooking
Erin.
Me up. So what's up with moms, Apple?
My mom, my cutie. Happy Mother's Day, mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Joy.
I had a
Joy.
Great talk with her like for an hour and a half yesterday, and she's doing good, and I love my mom. Miss her, and she'll be coming up here probably as soon as summer's over to stay with us.
Right on.
Not for 5 weeks this time, though. For like two
I don't,
weeks,
you know what? I don't mind
weeks.
When mom
know,
stays for 5 weeks.
I know
weeks.
You guys don't mind, but I love my mother, but...
Yeah,
and
no,
dot dot
no,
dot.
No, yeah, no. Look,
that's a long.
Yeah,
visit.
My mom.
Your turn.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, my mom is staying at a hotel. Rory's having a dance competition this weekend.
They don't know who Rory is.
Oh, Rory is my little sister. She does awesome dance. She's been doing dance for 16 years now, and she's amazing. And she's doing
she's
dance
amazing.
Competition, but she's having she's got beef with some of the other.
Oh, she does?
Teeny girl. Yeah, and
oh
well,
gosh.
And mom, mom's the person that has to deal with that because like she has beef with the girls. Although Rory's a force of nature. She does not care about anything anyone does or says.
If she decides that,
and she will get in your face about it. Like nothing can stop that girl.
Oh, we can't forget our illustrious producer's wife. And glorious member of our family, Lacey.
Lacey.
Happy Mother's Day, Lacey. We love you guys, man. And yeah, I'm not going to say anything out of school here. I don't know what you want known out there in the world, but happy Mother's Day.
And a happy belated anniversary also.
Yeah, guys. What? What are you trying to say? Say it. Use your words.
Yeah, lots of words.
So, you know, it's because of the support of their parents that we have this interview today with these guys. That's what we found out from this interview.
Oh, that's right. So
these guys, I mean, their music started because mom supported him. And if you haven't listened, seriously, if you haven't listened to Brother Hawk yet, and this is your introduction to them and who they are, you guys are going to have, it's a pleasant surprise, man. This new out, and their new album came out this week, Clear Lake, and we sat here and listened, and I kept saying, these guys are fucking awesome. These guys are fucking great. This is badass.
I feel like they remind me of that that hair band era that
but
I
not.
No, but it's like completely modernized, and but that's what kind of pulls me in because it's
more
got
like
that
southern kind of hard.
It's nothing and all of it at the same time. You know, like it's.
JB's voice is awesome.
Yeah. JB, thank you so much for the time you took to talk to us, because I really enjoyed our conversation. Yeah, Nick, I didn't mean to leave you out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't leave Nick out.
No, Nick is awesome.
Right. Yeah. So let's do the business.
Business?
Because we got to do the business. And then we'll get to the interview. And just one last thing. Go hug your mom if she's around, man. Moms need hugs. Sometimes we got beef with our mom. And you know what? Life is fucking short, and we're only on this planet for a blink. The older I get, the faster time goes. And the more I'm realizing that it's super important to let the people in your life that have got you where you're going and have cared for you and cared about you, even though it wasn't the way that you wanted it to be, they need to know that you appreciate them.
Yeah.
So go give your mommy a hug, man. It's a good day for that. It's Mother's Day. That's what it's all about. So yeah.
Moms like hugs.
They do.
They really do.
Okay. I believe you. I'm not a mom, so...
I love hugs.
I can be anything. My mommy always told me I could be anything that I put my mind to. I can't be a mom. So check
not
that out.
In this day and age.
Well,
nope.
If you were
no,
acting,
I mean, no,
you
you're
could.
Wrong. In this day and age, you could totally be a mom.
I cannot birth a child out of my body, Ryder.
Yeah, but you could be a mom.
You
anyway.
Can. You did, Simon.
Anyway... Follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road. That's where you can find out information about the show. You can see who we are, what we're doing, what's going on. I try and keep it fun and interesting over there. And that's where you'll see like what's coming up on the show for the next week and all that good kind of stuff. Head over to the website, nosimpleroad.com. We have a shop over there with merch, and we're getting ready to do some cool stuff with some new shirts, and we're going to get some pins done and all that stuff. There's still stickers up on the website, and there's also some small shirts left. So if you're a size small, there is some No Simple Road hand logo shirts there for you on nosimpleroad.com. When you're out hanging out with your friends, or you're doing the Mother's Day thing and you're going to brunch, or you're at the lake, or you go camping, or you're on an airplane in the bathroom vomiting, or you're at a show and you take a picture of that, hashtag No Simple Road on that, and it will go up on nosimpleroad.com in the family tab.
How about No Simple Road Mom?
Yeah, that too. And you know, it's a good way for us to see who we are and what's going on out there. I know I enjoy going to nosimpleroad.com and clicking that and seeing what all you guys have posted. It's fucking cool, man. And I know that you guys were thinking about us because, you know, it's funny as the week goes on and it comes closer to the weekend because we all work regular jobs still. And we usually do.
I don't work a regular job.
Yeah, well,
I don't
okay.
fall under that.
Whatever.
Jobs.
We all work jobs.
Yeah, and, regular, irregular, indifferent.
During the week, I'm like thinking about what we're going to do on the weekend because we record on the weekends. And it's a trip, man. It's like you guys out there are on the porch with us. And I think about you guys as a person that's here. It's kind of trippy. And like if we don't record, even this morning Apple said it's weird, like we don't have an interview this weekend because we're going to see As the Crow Flies this weekend, so we didn't
tonight
yeah
Mother's
tonight,
Day
shit.
Concert
tonight.
Yeah, and we didn't
I'm so excited to dance for Mother's Day.
We didn't schedule any interviews this weekend, and Apple was like, it's weird not having anything like scheduled and no
sitting
interviews
out on
to
the patio
do
and, without the equipment.
Yeah, you guys are here with us and it's cool, man. And that brings me to Patreon. So, you know, we're doing this together, guys. This is our way of creating community and family, and it's working. Like, the show is growing and there's more of you out there, and we feel you here in the house, man. Like, you are a presence here and it's amazing.
Yeah, with these people, you guys, your artwork is incredible.
Yeah, and the feedback that we get and all that. So, you know, because you're a part of that, that is how you can support what we're doing. We appreciate the feedback and the love and the comments and all of that. But, you know, to take it a step further is doing the Patreon thing and going to patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. We live, for better or worse, in this capitalist whatever thing, and money is a thing, and it takes money to do the show. And so if you go over there and pledge, you know, you can get stuff like, we'll shout you out on the show, or we'll send you a shirt, or we'll send you an autographed picture, and you can even I don't know, there's different stuff up there, and take a look.
And by the way, family, we needed to give a special shout out to one of our longtime supporters and listeners, Laura, on Patreon.
Oh, Laura.
Calico Calix.
She sent me a thing this morning, Mel, said if she hasn't already with you, to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Laura.
Happy Mother's Day, Laura.
Yeah.
And man, thanks for the support.
Yeah, Laura. Thanks,
and
man.
The beautiful pictures and stuff you've been posting on Instagram lately. I can see that you're on your little journey and it's awesome. And peace to you on your travels.
Speaking, we all love you.
Yeah. Speaking of travels, Eugene Dead shows are coming, everybody.
Yes, Eugene Woo-hoo! Dead shows.
So listen, guys, here's the deal. If you're going to be at the Eugene shows, you can win an appearance on No Simple Road. The way you do that is by sending your submissions.
It'll be more than an appearance.
Is by sending your submissions into nosimpleroad@gmail.com or calling the voicemail number, and I don't have it memorized, and I'm not going to try and destroy it right now.
You do everything.
Go over to the Instagram. It's on. It's a 49er7. It's on the Instagram, man. It's a fucking thing. Whatever. But yeah, you send your story into there, and we will pick a story. And if you're going to be at the show, we'll let you know that we picked your story, and you can come by the lot, and we'll interview you and say hi and give
it's
you a hug. It's going to be
fun.
It's going to be
fucking
blast.
We've gotten several more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've cool. gotten a bunch of them.
We have.
There's one that we got this past week.
I just feel like everybody's, sorry, I keep interrupting you for
That's
no
what we
reason.
Do. There's, That's what we do.
There's one that we got this week that I really want to play, but it's so long, I can't do it. It'll take up like 15 minutes of the show.
Oh, is that the three-parter?
Yeah, that's the three-parter. Okay. Just know, you know who you are out there, and we love you, man. Thank you so much for that. It was really beautiful what you said and what you did, and I appreciate it. And it made Mel tear up, and it was really cool, and we appreciate it. And not to mention, this last week, we interviewed Children of Indigo.
Oh
and
my gosh.
They fucking blew us up, blessed us with this badass song.
That's the coolest thing
and video
I have ever seen. That was so rad.
You guys, I'm going to post
it. I have it on my phone
now. It was like within days of the interview.
It was like 3 days later. I'm going to post a link to it in the show notes and on the website. And you guys are going to make me do that. I say that shit all the time and then I forget. But I'm really going to do that with this. And I'm going to let you listen to it right now.
But it's
persevere. We've traveled this road before, so we may think, but it's a tad bit of strange similarities that feed an A equal A complex. The fears of your past do not equal the perplexities of the current road.
Check that shit out. Is that badass or what? Thanks, you guys. That was really fucking cool, and I can't wait for your interview to come out. So one more thing I wanted to shout out to. The Instagram community around the Grateful Dead is one of my favorite things that has come out of this show. Like, the support that we get there and the community and the vibe and just the way everybody is with each other is fucking rad. And I got a DM the other day from Shop Tour Bus, and they were like, hey, we listened to the show and we want to send you guys some stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I went over to their site, and this is the coolest.
This is awesome.
It's the coolest thing. Like, they're killing it, man. So they make t-shirts and they do designs, and their designs are different than anything that I've seen. They're not like the same old, kind of like online ceramics, but different. They're doing their thing and it's badass. But what really struck me about them was the attention to detail that these guys do. So like, when you order a shirt from them, not only do you get the shirt, but you get a sticker, you get a bootleg tape, you get a pencil to spool the tape with, and each box is individually designed.
Oh, I think it is so cool, man.
And they're not sponsoring the show. I'm not doing this because they're going to send us shit. Like, I really thought, like, that is one of the coolest ideas I've seen in a long time. And the attention that they put into it and the creativity and the thoughtfulness and just all of it. It was really cool. So if you haven't checked out Shop Tour Bus on Instagram, check them out. Fucking rad. And they even send candy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, all kinds of cool.
Who doesn't want to get candy when they order a shirt? That's just
something. What's it called again?
Shop Tour Bus. Yeah. You checking it out now?
Yeah, I am. I hadn't heard about this yet. I'm excited.
So I already talked about Patreon, but I wanted to say one last thing about that. So I know that there's a lot of podcasts out there. I know that there's a lot of things out there that vie for your attention and your monetary attention. We all, you know, like, I guarantee most of us pay for Netflix and, you know, your Amazon Prime membership and this, that, the other thing, and you get nickel and dime to death out there. But if you're listening to the show every week and you're part of this community, that's the way that we are doing this thing. That's the way that we work together. That's inclusion. And not that if you're not doing that, you're not included, but that's a way for you to give back to us who are giving the show to you every week.
Be included more.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange to ask people for money in a weird way, but it's not on another level because we're family, and that's what family does. Family takes care of each other. Family supports each other, and it's Mother's Day. You know, so that's why I brought it up again, just because it's on my mind. And it's just the way for you as a listener to interact with the show beyond just listening in your car or at work on your headphones or whatever. So, yeah, patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. I'll stop now. I'll quit it.
One more time.
Patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad.
Okay.
Thanks, Ryder.
You're welcome.
So, Brother Hawk, guys, JB, Nick, are a couple of amazing human beings. There's a wealth of their music out there, and you can download it anywhere where you download music. There'll be links to all their stuff in the show notes and on the website. If, like I said, if this is your first time hearing them or checking them out, you're going to be pleasantly surprised, man. These guys are badasses. And do yourself a little favor and head over to YouTube.
Yes.
And search them. Watch them play. Watch them live.
Oh my gosh, his neck and his head. That when we were just listening back to the interview, we talked about that. I love watching this guy play guitar.
Yeah, it's a blast. And we had a good time talking to him here. So I will stop talking. We're going to enjoy the rest of Mother's Day.
I was just going to say, too, when you guys hear this, Brother Hawk, when you guys hear this, you're another one that we'll probably want to have on again in the future with the whole band.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know that. You're welcome on our patio anytime.
Yeah. And come to Portland, man. Come play up here so we can have dinner. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Come stay at the Chaplet house.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ryder, Apple, Mel, myself, and Darwin, without further ado, present JB and Nick from Brother Hawk. What are you loading, baby?
Candyland.
Candyland?
Yeah.
That's a child's game. That's not a strain of marijuana.
Well,
Apple,
we'll see about that.
Tell us all about Candyland while I call Brother Hawk.
Oh, man. Okay, I wasn't prepared.
It's a sativa.
Yes, it is a sativa dominant.
Uh-huh. Tell me more. Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Keep it going.
Tell me more.
Candyland. It is a child's game.
23% THC, 0 CBD. This is from Happy Cabbage Farms out in...
beautiful Oregon.
Yeah,
here.
In Oregon. Happy Cabbage has some really amazing, amazing strains.
And it is a gold medalist of the 2012 Kush Con, a sativa-dominant hybrid bred from Granddaddy Purple and Bay Platinum Cookies. Strain grows well. Patients turn to Candyland when trying to moderate pain, muscle tension, and sour moods. How about that?
Sour moods suck.
Yep.
I hate when sour moods happen.
Uplifting, stimulating effects make it a perfect strain for social gatherings or creative pastimes.
All right. Well, here we go, guys. Let's give this a... It's so funny. Every single time we start to do something, there's some random ambient thing that goes down.
That's what happens when we film out, or I keep saying film, and I guess maybe that's a Freudian slip, but...
No, it's you're speaking into the future.
All right. Well, every time we do any kind of recording, it's part of being outside.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, crystal
perfect.
Clear.
Hell yeah.
Right on, you guys. So, good afternoon, everybody. How's it going?
Pretty good.
So, this is Aaron.
This is Apple.
And Melanie Apple? Here.
Yeah, Apple. Yeah, it's my last name. Yeah.
It's a good one.
So, who do we got on the other end over there?
JB and Nick.
Oh, right on. So,
what was the other name besides Apple? I didn't catch it because I was still talking about Apple.
I'm Melanie.
Melanie, hi.
Hey.
What's up?
What is?
So, guys, thanks for coming on the show, man. Like, super honored and grateful that you came on. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you having us.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So the way that this came about, I guess we'll start with that, is like... our producer is a huge fan of your guys's and turned me and Apple and Mel onto you. And since then we've been listening and I was like, dude, we got to get them on the show. Like just before we even start, thanks for what you do, guys. You guys are giving it all and it shows in what you do big time.
Hey, thanks for noticing, man. We really appreciate that for real.
Yeah. I mean,
and I think it's you, JB, that like rocks your head back and forth, like intense. Like, you're almost like you're trying to give yourself like a brain hemorrhage or something, but it's so rad to watch, man. Like, thank you for the energy that you're pouring in.
No, I've been doing that since I was a little baby, like for real. I can't help it. I used to beat my head on the floor when I was a little baby.
So you just have the rock inside in the veins,
yeah.
Huh?
What I was
wait to get out.
Last night I was showing them because I would love you. You guys are hard to find a lot on the internet, but like you say on YouTube, YouTube is a great way to reach people. I'm watching your videos. Last night, what was May last year? You guys were playing. I had it pulled up here.
Way to go, Apple.
it was No Time to Rust, and you guys were on stage and just killing it with the head banging and everything.
Dude, you guys walked out on the stage.
No Room to Rust.
Took the stage and just killed it.
At House of Blues in Myrtle Beach last May. And that video, man, I mean, you guys, shows you walking on stage and you just come out and you slay it. Just from the beginning, and Alan on keyboard. I mean, you guys were banging your head so hard it like hurt my neck. I was like, "Holy crap!"
Nick's the keys.
Nick, you're on the keys, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Nick. Alan is on drums,
but he bangs his head too.
So it's for the whole group, huh?
You know, it's talking about the whole headbanging thing, like in the whole psychedelic rock, like jam band, whatever scene, like sometimes you'll go to a show and it seems like the band is like giving everybody a chance to get comfortable and find their space or whatever. And yeah. I fucking appreciate when a band will come out and just kick your ass.
Well, melt welcome your face. To our space, you know.
Good space.
So how did this whole like thing manifest, man? Like how long have you guys been at it?
Well, it's strange. Like Nick and I met in like kindergarten or first grade or something like that. And it was because we were the only two kids at our elementary school who like gave a shit about who Nirvana was. Like no one else like that was seven like you know knew like their favorite band was or something. You know what I mean? We were just like into it like that from Jump Street, and so we became really good friends and actually I got a guitar for Christmas so we could start our first band together.
How old were you?
We were eight or nine.
Yes.
What was the guitar? What kind of guitar was it? And did you name it?
It was a PG Predator, and no, I did not name it.
All right, well, what's her name now?
I don't name inanimate objects most of the time. I'm just, that's not even something I do.
That's awesome.
I do it all the time.
So, like, from such a young age, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. It was really cool. I guess we're just really lucky to have each other. I hadn't thought too deep about it until just now, but that's like, I guess that is really cool that, you know, I guess we could have been doing it alone in our bedrooms, but instead we got to hang out with each other. And
well, yeah,
and
I mean, it could have been fucking Dungeons and Dragons or Magic the Gathering cards or things.
Too, let's not get it twisted. You know, I was definitely playing Magic also, but. But no, you know, and then we kind of went different ways. Like Nick got very serious into like classically trained piano type things.
Yeah.
And I like started being in hardcore bands and stuff like when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So we came back together, I guess, was that like 8 years ago now?
Yeah.
I've been begging Nick to come play because he's like the most talented person I've ever met in my whole life. And James and I, our bass player, had been like trying to start a band. He played in like some of the hardcore bands with me that I was in. And we just wanted to do something, you know, that's not what either of us like were really into. You know, we were just doing it, you know, having a good time kind of. But I wanted to do something like I didn't even know like that what we do existed yet. But this, you know, something like that that was just really more us. And I've been telling him about Nick. I was like, this dude, Nick is the shit. He's like incredible. We got to get him to play keyboards. And Nick was like, I don't even fucking like play the keyboard in a band. Like I play the piano. And,
you do now, fucker.
Yeah, exactly. And I just bothered the shit out of him for like 2 years. And then finally we started getting together. And as soon as we did, it just clicked and we started writing. And it took us a while to kind of figure it out, like, you know, what it was going to be like. Because we didn't really necessarily have – that's been the whole time. We don't like – set out to do something particular. We just like, what have we got in us that is going to come out? And it took a while to figure it out. But once we did, it kind of, the ball's been rolling ever since, I guess.
So Nick, why were you saying no for those 2 years? What was going on with you?
I was in school. I was busy. I was married or getting married. And it was just, it didn't, you know.
Yeah. Wasn't the right time.
I mean, I wanted to because I missed JB. I was like, yeah, I want to see you, but it was just we couldn't nail down a time to meet. And when it eventually fucking when I was like, okay, goddamn it, let's do it. He came over to my house and like it was like we had never stopped playing together. It was
that's true friendship.
Wow.
Well, that comes through in your guys' music. It's an obvious connection there. Now to hear how far back that goes, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Nick, I got a question for you, man. Like Apple was telling me, like he's kind of like our research guy on the show. Like he digs in and finds all the dirt and information about the bands. And you, man, you're classically trained, right?
Yeah.
So can you explain something to me, man, that I've always wondered and never understood? Maybe you can enlighten me. Like conducting, what's the deal with the conductor? Like what's his role?
His role is actually takes place mostly in rehearsal, his or her role. In like, because, you know, if you're a solo instrumentalist, your interpretation is what people hear. But for an orchestra, the orchestra's interpretation comes from the conductor. Okay, so like right. when you're rehearsing, the conductors who they're the one who's like telling people how to play certain things. And when it comes to performance, like at a concert, they're really there to like cue people and like help them feel comfortable and give them the cues for how that interpretation should be done. Right. But it's not really like they're not keeping time or anything really like that. They're just they're there for interpretation.
Wow.
Because you know, a group of like 80 people or whatever. You know, they're all gonna, they would all play it differently, you know?
Yeah.
So is it safe to say that, like, a different conductor in front of the same orchestra, that orchestra could possibly sound completely different?
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's kind of like the sound mixer, it seems like.
Yeah, he's the mixing board.
Which is cool, because then that means that there's there can't possibly be a right or wrong way to play something.
I mean, there's definitely, like...
maybe a missed note or something, but not yeah. wrong.
Yeah. Interpretation
yeah.
speed.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's the producer.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah.
So do you fill that role in Brother Hawk, or is it more collaborative with all of you guys?
It's more collaborative with all of us. We all we jam on things. We know what we like right away, or what doesn't work, or we, you know, and if when we like something, when we all like something, that's, you know, we all know it's going to work. But
yeah.
That's like the only time we really move forward with anything.
Yeah.
Like if it's not working, we kind of leave it alone. You know, we're not big on forcing things. Like if we feel like it's going to work, but we're not getting it, like we'll kind of grind at it. But like if we start hitting a wall, we move on, you know, like it's all about what's natural for us to play together. And if it's like not working in a natural way, like, you know, we feel like we don't have any business playing it. Like we just move on and find that. What we're going to do the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, JB, has there been, like, watching you play, you're letting it all out, man. Like, it's obvious that whatever's inside of you is coming out, and there ain't shit left on the inside. Like, is there a point that you can remember where you felt like finally it's all happening, it's coming out, or has it been like a progression for you?
You mean just like as far as like performances go?
Yeah. Like the way it feels when you play, like having that come out.
It constantly gets better and easier and more satisfying for sure. But I feel like I've always, as long as I'm enjoying it, you know, anytime it's something that I can't do that if I'm just like playing something random or for somebody else or in a different band or something like that, you know, if that makes sense.
With somebody else's constraints or something on.
Right. Exactly. It's not, I don't know. It's just not like that. But anytime, I guess, as long as I've been trying to do this, that like I've been, it's something I really care about. It's just always been like that. It's always kind of been the point for me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like totally. I struggle, like, this is going to sound crazy, but like I didn't realize it as a child, but you know, looking back now, I think I really struggled with like some anger issues when I was really young. Maybe like some overflow type of things where like I was just highly emotional and like couldn't figure out how to handle it. I really like genuinely feel like music kind of like saved my life in a way that like, I don't know like what kind of person I would be if I didn't have that outlet, you know?
Was that Nirvana for you?
I wouldn't even say that. I honestly, because I always listened to it. I mean, when I say music, I mean playing it.
Okay.
Because I do enjoy music. I do enjoy music, but I don't, and it's very comforting to me, but it's not the same release as playing it.
Wow. Makes yeah. sense. That so really does like make really, sense.
It's a really, really necessary part of my life.
It's so strange, man. Like just last night, I play guitar, nowhere near where you guys are at, but I play, and it's been like this love-hate relationship I have with the instrument and doing it. And for me, it's been this, like, I always have felt like I can't get it out. It just doesn't come out the way it feels. And to watch somebody else do it, there's this magic that happens. And man, I don't know. I just wish like there was a way to explain it so that other people could get it. But I guess in a way that's what music is in its whole, right? Like your feeling as a band is coming out there and you guys are laying it out there for everybody else to experience, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So your guys' lineup has changed quite a bit, right?
Just the drummer. It's been Nick and James and I the whole time, but we've changed drummers quite a bit.
All right. So what's the deal with that? What's the deal with the drummer role?
Great question.
What is the deal with drummers in general? I think you could ask anybody in a band that question and they would still not know what to tell you.
No, you know, one of them drummers.
You know, the first guy on our first EP was just a guy that James worked with and like didn't even really want to be in our band and just didn't have anything else to do, like, and just wanted to like go play some drums. You know, it was just like, it's been a struggle for whatever reason. I guess also because, like, I don't know, part of it has something to do with how we don't really play a specific kind of music. You know, I don't know what, like, it's, you would think, especially early on, we had no clue what, like, it was. So, like, we would just be like, you know, looking for someone, like, do you want to be in a band at all?
You know? Yeah.
Drums for us. You know, we went through a bunch. It's gotten easier as like we've kind of like, at least in Atlanta, established at least what we do, you know, like, you know, if you know, you still might not be able to say like what kind of band we are, but like if you know what Brother Hawk is in Atlanta, then like you have an idea of what we do, you know. That's made it easier. But just, you know, it's just life stuff. Like the last two guys just kind of, Champ and JC, they both like settled down and got married and like got square jobs and are really happy, and it's good for them. But I guess the fact that they were going to do that at some point anyway made it like clear that they weren't ever really on the same page as us, you know, because that's not. And that's the difference with Alan, is like Alan moved from Mississippi to Atlanta to be in our band. He used to drive from Mississippi to Atlanta to practice before he moved, because he's just like us. He wants to be in a fucking band. He doesn't want to do or give a shit about anything else, you know?
Yeah.
He's awesome. He reminds me of Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah. He's awesome. And I feel like to be a dedicated band on the level we're at, and I mean that by like the very low level that we're at, you have to absolutely want to do it more than you want to do anything else, or you wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You decide to make it your life, and that's it. And it's not even a decision. It would have happened regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly. It's never been a decision for me.
What a great thing to have with four people.
Well,
like, how strong.
And I was just going to say, in a fifth person, is that your dad that plays harmonica, JB?
Yeah, that is. He actually passed away last year.
Oh, condolences.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's on the new record, though, that's about to come out.
Oh, wow, that's special.
Pops Lives On. Yeah, that's fucking badass.
Yeah, it is.
It was literally the last thing that he did. He died like a few minutes after he recorded his harmonica parts.
Wow, dude. Okay, just got chills.
Apple's like, hair standing up on his arms, dude.
Wow, that's special, man. I can't wait to hear that.
Okay, I'm not a dad. I'm a mom.
Thank God you're not a dad.
But what I mean by that is, like, I can imagine how like triumphant it must have been for him to be the last thing that he did.
Yeah.
Can you, like, seriously, I don't know if you're a dad or not, but like imagine just being able to do something so amazing for your legacy as that.
Yeah.
Something so permanent.
Yes. Yeah. And it's coming out after he's gone.
Yeah.
That's in.
Keeps it alive.
That's magical. That's music if I've ever heard it.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And that's, you touch on that whole magic thing. Like, There's something special being a music fan. And I mean, dude, I got turned on to the Grateful Dead at the age of 18. And ever since, it's just been this ongoing circus of music in my life. And it's meant everything to me. It defines who I am, kind of like you guys, and the same thing. And just watching what you guys have, when you can catch a band, like you said, you can't put Brother Hawk in a category. I wouldn't say you're Southern rock. I wouldn't say you're a blues band or a jam band or any of that. You're all of it. And then something different. And like, I've had a couple of people ask me about you guys, like who you are. I say it's Brother Hawk. It's, you got to just check it out and listen to it. Like, it is what it is. But when you find that thing that you guys obviously have, like, is there a conversation that happens between the four of you at some point where you're like, okay, fuck it, man. Everything else can go take a hike. We're doing this. This is it. We're all in.
Yeah. I mean, we had to have that conversation with Alan for him to like even be in the band, because we were already at that point and just kind of like frustrated with not having someone who that was their mindset, you know?
Yeah.
That was like really the whole reason Alan got in the band, because he was like, I want to do this. I am ready to do this. I have been up until Alan, we were finding people to like that were willing to be in the position we wanted them to be in for a little while. And Alan was the only person that was ever actively seeking, like he's like begging for someone to put him in that position, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had had that conversation prior to that a bunch of times. But when we finally, like I said, that was the, what put him in the band was like his dedication. You know, we knew it would fall into place because of that, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of weird too, like seeing it from the outside, you had this drummer lineup change going on over and over again. And then you finally find the guy that's like ready to say, fuck it and give all he has to it. And then you guys start gaining notoriety soon after, you know?
Right.
And what's that like? What's that look like for you guys? Like, I mean, obviously you play as much as possible, but like, are you constantly writing? Are you coming up with a new album? Like, what's going on internally with you guys right now?
I like that. That was good. Looking internally.
A nice pause.
Yeah. We don't ever, you know, it's constant, you know, it's not, I consider it to be what I do. Like there's other things that I have to do, you know, like in between, but it is constant. I'm constantly either at the very least just playing my guitar or like working on a song or sending an email to someone or like, you know, just it's never, we do it all ourselves. So everyone is always like, it's always the focal point of whatever we're doing. Whatever else that I do aside from that is to support the fact that I'm trying to do that. Wow. And I feel like it's probably true of everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that makes me think about myself and this podcast and yeah.
So your life is pretty badass in the fact that you're, well, not just the music part. That's actually the cherry on top. What I'm thinking is just to have the passion that's driving you, and it's a no matter what thing. And like you're putting out.
I feel very lucky for that. Right? I'm extremely lucky to know. You know, I feel really bad for people who don't know at all or don't know as much as I do. Like I fucking know, so, you know, that's not
yeah. So on that note, is there any kind one of the songs or that's like more special than another, like something that like, where you just got like your aha, like this is it. Like what's that song for you, Nick? And what's that song for you, JB? If there is one.
Are you talking about like the aha moment when we knew that this was going to be it, or
just your favorite?
Yeah, yeah. Like you're maybe just like a baby to you, like something that you really got out, you know, or something that like was just such a good jive between you guys that you're like especially proud of.
Well, for me, I think more recently, every time we play, we have this new song that'll be on the new album called The Black Dog, which is the song that JB's dad put harmonica on.
Mm.
When we play that live, I always hear his harmonica part in my heart. Like, even though it's not there, it's in there. And at the end of that song, I mean, we don't really have another song that goes as hard as that one does at the end. And it's, I don't know. That's like the...
That's it.
That, yeah.
For me, playing that song and that hitting that climax at the end, it's the shit, and it's like the coolest thing I've ever done. And I've nearly fallen backwards on the stage playing that thing.
I got to see the YouTube video of that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
What about you, JB?
As a performance goes, I would completely agree with Nick that that's like, you know, it's the harmonica part is over this like really soft kind of. The harmonica part plays back and forth with like a quieter lead part that I have. So like it's me and my dad like kind of like call and response like harmonica and guitar, and obviously like I hear it every time I play it, but then it goes into this fucking just totally insane, like the heaviest thing we've ever done, the intense thing where we're all just like losing our shit, and it's like just so. I don't know. Like I said, Nick really explained it well, but I would agree with him on that level. But on another level, I guess as far as like an accomplishment, I feel like The Clear Lake, the title track of the record that is about to come out, that is one that like it's in a weird tuning, which is the first time we've ever like accomplished that. I've always played around with those things, but never like got anything done. Mm-hmm. It's just like something I've been working on for like a really long time. Like just some form of that song has been working maybe even before Brother Hawk, you know, like that's how long I've been playing with this tuning and these chords, and it never came together. And that was the first song we wrote with Alan.
Right?
That's the first song we wrote with Alan. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And it's like, I feel like it's the best song we've ever written, like without a doubt. It's just, I don't know. I feel a real sense of accomplishment in like some of the other songs, the record that I love all of our songs. They wouldn't be our songs if I didn't, you know? But that one really sticks out to me as like when we put out, let's say when Big Medicine came out, a lot of the other songs on the record, with the exception of maybe a few, I can envision that type of song being on our next record.
Right.
And I can't say that about The Clear Lake. That song just really stands apart for me in like a surprised ourselves kind of way. Like, holy shit, like we can do this, you know?
So that happens. And that's a thing that happens. I never knew that. Like when, as a musician, you have those moments where you're like, holy fuck, that was me.
Absolutely. That's definitely that moment, you know.
I mean, I guess that's what it's all about.
for sure. Yeah. It is so unbelievably satisfying.
And I've listened to that track a couple of times, and I hear that in all your guys' stuff. You guys are emotional. And you make me emotional. I was sitting here listening to you guys last night. The way Aaron said the same thing, the way you guys go from jamming so hard to all of a sudden you just set it down like a lullaby and then go into it. It's amazing the way you guys do that. A lot of bands try that but aren't as successful. You guys do it well. And last night I had a few beers and was listening to you guys all evening. And when I saw on YouTube or just recently, you covered one of my favorite songs in the world, Nutshell.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. I was out here with tears, sitting here listening to that, and was like, wow, this is great.
So that grunge music has a place with you guys, obviously, yeah?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it brought Nick and I together, you know?
That's awesome. I mean, well, for us, 1992. How old are you guys?
32.
Okay, so a little bit younger than us. But that music, when it was out, was like, man... Jerry Garcia had died and all the Deadheads were off tour and there was nothing going on. And it was like this explosion that happened of soul and realness that poured out into the world. And of course, like everything else that's wonderful and beautiful, it gets grabbed and commercialized and, you know, whatever. But to this day, like that's a part of my life that I look back on. I'm grateful for that shit, man. And then to see guys like you that are carrying it forward and changing it, morphing it into something else, it's really cool, man. Like when those inspirations happen, it's magic. So like for you guys, I don't know if this is kind of a cheesy question, but I'm curious, like for you, JB, like what are you listening to right now that's got you like excited?
I tell you what's got me really excited that I literally cannot stop listening to is this band Hopalong from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And it's like, I guess it's like, I don't even know what kind of music it is. To me, it's a chick singer, and she has this like unbelievable voice, but not in the way that you would think. You know, it's not like some like soulful, powerful voice or something. It's this really strange, crackly, kind of intentionally weird, almost. I don't want to say intentionally because that makes it seem contrived, because I definitely don't feel like that. But she just had this incredible voice, and it's like, to me, I was in hardcore bands like when I was a teenager, so that's like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I was like super into a lot of emo bands, like big time. Like Mineral is one of my favorite bands of all time. I don't even know if you guys know who that is.
Oh, I never heard of them.
They're just completely incredible. Okay. And I feel like that's a lot of where maybe like, I don't know, like the emotiveness, like that stuff, like that music was always so like, the good stuff of it, obviously, like you said, the commercialized like crap, like really gets out there. But like, it's very like, it's like meant to like evoke something, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's like picking at you like on purpose. And to me, they're just like the modern version of that, but just like in this totally new way that I've never heard. And the music is incredible, and there's grooves. And her brother is the drummer, and he's incredible. The record's called Bark Your Head Off, Dog. Weird. Like, you know? And she reminds me of Mineral in the same way, where her lyrics are like, they're very, it's just like one long story and she just sings it. It's not like someone where like, you know, you like write a verse and like, okay, this is the chorus. She's just like, it seems like she just wrote like a literal fucking account of something that happened to her down on a piece of paper and sung it over a song. Which sounds weird, but it's just really fucking cool. They're just really good at it. And I just can't stop listening to that. It's so, so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
Well, we've been jamming that in the van together.
That's awesome.
Into that. I really haven't been able to get off the last War on Drugs record.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing.
Other than that,
that record, I'll just chime in on that. That record is completely incredible. Completely next level. I feel like it's like a peerless record, to be honest. Like, it's very, very fucking good. I don't know about anything I've ever heard be that good, especially anything new. Most of the stuff that I like is, that I really, really cherish, is older shit, you know, like Neil Young records and stuff like that. But that is one that's like, I feel like, for lack of a better term, it's like a modern classic to
like
me.
Timeless.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
I just keep finding myself going back to it over and over again. Can't stop.
Yeah. It's so good.
So, I mean, you guys have these roots that, these inspirations that you listen to and stuff, and you know, you got to understand that you guys are that for people out there now. Like, that's part of what being a musician is you become that inspiration for people. As your popularity's growing and things are gaining steam, are you noticing a difference in the way the crowds are responding to you at shows?
Yeah. And that's hard for me to wrap my head around, like what you just said.
Yeah,
like,
same. You said that and I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's so true.
Crazy. It's so crazy. But I feel like I see that and it's just as crazy to me when I see it. You know, when someone like is like surprised that they're getting to talk to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what the fuck, man? I'm just standing here, you know? Like, yeah, you talk to me just like anybody else, you know? But I guess on a level I understand that it's not like that, but it's just like, you know, that's really hard to use. I feel like, you know, you hear like actually famous people talk about that kind of thing all the time, where it's like really maybe impossible to get used to sometimes, you know, like you just don't, it's hard to wrap your head around.
It's weird, man. I mean, even
you're cool, JB, man.
I mean, both of you guys.
I just love that response. Like, you, I really feel your emotion, and it's freaking heavy and cool.
Yeah.
Like, you have a certain way that you're carrying yourself that is very electrifying.
Yeah. And it's funny too, like doing this show, our thing is like, we're just hanging out on the fucking porch, getting high and drinking coffee and talking to people. Like,
right.
It's not crazy. But sometimes we'll do an interview and it's, I don't know, not forced, but it's hard. Like, you have to, I'm thinking while I'm in the conversation, like talking to you guys, just like, well, we're just fucking hanging out on the porch together talking, man. It's a big deal, you know? But I know what you're talking about with that recognition thing. Like, even just sitting here doing what we do, like, we've had people come up to us and be like, you guys are from No Simple Road. What? And I'm like, yeah. What?
What's that? Melanie's even, I remember that one time, Melanie's like, how do they know us?
Yeah. We have a show, remember? Yeah, it's a thing. Like, we did that.
I work in a bar, and people will come in sometimes and like order drinks and sit at the bar and be there for a while. And then like maybe like an hour later out of nowhere, they'll be like, man, so when are y'all playing again? And in my head, I'm like, who? It's like, so it's really weird for me still. Like, I just don't, I'm just never expecting it. I don't think.
It's, yeah, but you know, it's cool, man. Like,
that's fun.
That, yeah, it's fun. For, yeah, it is fun.
And that makes it real. There's not any, like, big ego
there's
involved.
There's nothing to think about. You just go work in the bar and be rad, and then on the weekends, you freaking kick ass with your friends. People dig it, and then we want to talk about it, and we laugh about it later.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then pretty soon, you're at the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, signing guitars for people.
You sound like my mom now.
Oh, yeah, man. How's your family taking it? They must be noticing what's happening.
Mama, no.
My mom is our absolute biggest fan in the entire world, rivaled only by Nick's dad. I still think she wins. She is, you know, I mean, my dad was in the band, you know, she's just like an absolute, and she's just all, that's part of like why, you know, I know what I want to do, because like the second that I said it, she was just like, fuck yeah, you want to be a musician? What can I get you? What can I possibly do? You know, like, they could not have been more, like, supportive, like, in every single possible way. Look,
I want
like,
to
I never, like, had, I never did, you know, I had, like, when I was in fourth grade, I had, like, the gear to go play a show with, like, a real band somewhere, you know, because they were just, like, they saw it in me and were, like, let us give you whatever we can, like, as far as just like support or just like stuff or, you know, just whatever. They just like have always been completely 1,000% in on me doing this.
So mom is the wind beneath Brother Hawk's wings.
I got the title of the record from her even. That's something she said to me. We were having a meeting with like this management group that we ended up not doing anything with because we've never done anything like that. But I was really kind of worked up and nervous about it because like I didn't know what to do and I just like wasn't sure how to navigate it. And she just like grabbed me and she was like, it's all good. You're going to see exactly what to do. You're the clear lake. You can see it all. And I was just holy shit. And that like just became like a bigger concept from there. But just like she dropped that on me and it stuck hard. So.
Wow.
I was going to add with the mom. I saw a little in one of the like couple articles I found on you guys. You mentioned one of your first gigs was playing at where your mom worked at a retirement community.
Where did you find that?
I did.
He's magic, dude. It's, I told you, he's crazy with that shit.
Yeah. Well, that was, you know, when we were in third or fourth grade and doing that band that we started, you know, that's what she was the entertainment director for a retirement center.
Whoa.
And so she directed us to come be the entertainment one week. You know, we came in and like played. I don't even know what we played. I can't. It was probably excruciating, but these old people really enjoyed themselves and it was cool. But that was like that was probably the first time we ever played in front of somebody that wasn't like, you know, sitting in Nick's garage or whatever.
Wow,
that's awesome.
That must be so cute for her to see her little third or fourth grade, you know, like rocking out with his best friend at her job.
She's kind of like your first manager too, booking you. And
yeah, I don't have a picture of the first time, but I have a picture from the second time that we did it. And it's my brother and Nick and his brother. They're sitting on the wall because it was just, we played a bunch of stuff, but it was me playing guitar and my dad playing harmonica. And then Nick and his brother and my brother are sitting on the wall. And that was from like 1994 or something like that, or five or whatever.
I hope that's up in somebody's house prominently.
Over the mantle by the fire.
It's on my Instagram also though.
So
okay, you know we're gonna troll that shit. So when you're writing, like lyrically, you guys hitting it. Like, you find that spot, at least for me, like, there's a certain thing that lyrics do. Some people attach to the lyrics, and some people attach the music, some people attach both. When I hear a band for the first time, I'm always paying attention to what's going on lyrically. And like, wow. When you're writing, do you have the concept of what you're going to write about for that particular song in mind at first, or is it something that just kind of comes out natural?
It's kind of both, you know. I've maybe written lyrics for two songs ever before we started this band. You know, I didn't want to be the singer for this band. Like, I didn't consider myself someone who was like good at writing lyrics or all that great at singing or, you know, like I really had to like force myself to do it. And when it finally started, like I got a lot more comfortable really quickly.
We were looking for a singer when we started this band.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, wow.
Because I've always just been like a guitar dude. You know, I just want to play the guitar, right. You know? I like to sing, and like I would like sing like when I would just like play acoustic, like sing country songs or whatever, you know, like at my house. But just like as far as the band was concerned, it just wasn't. I'm being completely honest, it wasn't something I considered myself to be capable of.
Change for you?
It honestly changed like pretty much as soon as I started actually doing it.
Oh shit, I can do that.
Actually doing it, I was like, oh okay, well I don't like completely suck at this, like, and I'm sure I'll get better, and I guess I did. But it's really cool to hear you say that, because like that, for I don't want to say they're an afterthought, you know, but like with the exception of maybe one or two songs, like the song is complete before any lyrics enter the picture.
Oh wow.
So
yeah, and sometimes during rehearsal you'll be singing like nonsense or just
whatever. I sing nonsense to come up with vocal patterns, and sometimes the nonsense will be the words I end up using in a weird way. Like, wow. I'll be singing just like random words, and I'll be like, oh, that line is like this, and I'll just kind of write from there, you know. And then, but sometimes I'll be like feeling a certain type of way or thinking about something particular, or get inspired and like start writing lyrics. I think like maybe the one time I ever wrote lyrics before the music was Half Empty. And to me that almost kind of shows, because I feel like it's like an extremely simple song, like as far as like the music goes.
Okay.
But I just wrote those lyrics and then like made the chords fit to like the kind of lyrical pattern that I had written.
So
it's always like music first.
If it's music first, like, are you constantly like recording licks that you come up with, or is it like you just jam in and then you're like, oh shit, that's cool, I'm gonna keep using that and keep going? Or
yeah, it's a lot like that.
Yeah. Wow. We in practice, if we like come up with a jam or something that is really cool, I'll record it and you know, save it for next time, and when we come back and practice again, we'll pick it up and then keep working on it.
It's like putting together Legos.
Yeah,
absolutely. And like the other cool thing about it is like, you know, I've been playing with James for maybe like a little over 10 years now, in different bands and stuff, and just working before Brother Hawk. James and I were trying to do a different band and also looking for a singer. We tried to get Nick to be in that band, but he wasn't having it. but just like, I had a bunch of songs, you know, that never had any lyrics. They were just like a bunch of songs that were, you know, compilations of riffs, I guess you could call it.
Right.
And James, I never record anything, and I probably should, but it's just like not the kind of person that I am. Wow. That's something I learned from my girlfriend. She's like, that's just not who I am as a person, whenever it's like something you should be doing. But yeah, it's just not who I am as a person to record things like that. But James would be like, hey man, remember this riff you wrote 10 years ago? It's really fucking cool. I'm like, holy shit.
He'll just fucking play it on the bass. It's like, oh.
Yeah, but oh man, that riff is really fucking cool. I wrote that, and then it'll just become a song.
Yeah.
That's like how No Room to Rust was. Like the chorus to that was like a riff from like 2005 or 6 or something. And like, we didn't even work on that song until, what was it, 2014 or something, when that song came out, I think. So just like little stuff where like, I don't know, I've just been writing riffs like literally my whole fucking life, and they just come in and out, and maybe I'll remember them or maybe I'll come up with a better version of them. But like, that's just all that it's about, is just writing riffs and putting them together.
You know, when you hear it done, like listening to anybody's music, but yours in particular, like it's amazing that it comes together like that, and that it was pieces. Like from my perspective, just hearing the finished product, it sounds like, oh yeah, here's the song I wrote, and it's whole all at once. But knowing that it's all just pieces that are put together, that's crazy, man. That's talent, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because, like, you know, that's the biggest thing you struggle with, I think, is when I talk about like hitting a wall and like stopping, is like when you're trying to cram two different fucking things together. You're like, oh, this is in the same key, does this work? Or like, this is the same time signature, does this work? And like, a lot of times the answer is no, you know, but sometimes it does. And it's cool to know that like it doesn't come off that way, like it's piecemealed or something like that.
Well, this song "Wait" that'll be on the new album, that was like the first thing that we jammed when you came to my house back in like 2009.
Oh shit, I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah, and that, you know.
So in 2009, "Wait" told you to wait till 2018.
I think like maybe with a couple exceptions, like. Half Empty and Ghosts are the two that come to mind right off the rip. Oh, and L5P, because that was like the first Brother Hawk song ever. But those, all three of those, like those were like sit down, start writing, 30 minutes later the song's finished.
That's crazy.
But that's really fucking few and far between, man. Like I'm not like, I feel like there's a lot of people that do that. Like, I don't know, like really prolific people, like, you know, like Neil Young or Ryan Adams or somebody who just like, that's what they do. They're like, I don't consider myself a songwriter in the same way that those guys are, you know, like those guys sit down and write like 10 fucking songs in a day. You know, like that sounds insane to me. Like some of these songs take years to finish. You know,
it's weird how music, we were talking about this earlier before we got on with you guys, like music comes from either these places of like total pain or total joy. There's no gray area with that shit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. God damn. You don't got to tell me, man. Absolutely.
You know, recently, I think it was recent, you guys were playing with Blackberry Smoke, right?
Yeah.
How did that whole thing come about?
That came about because I have a friend that I used to work for. His name's Chris Howell. He's a tattooer from Atlanta. He used to be part owner of a shop here called Southern Star Tattoo that I was a floor guy at, you know, and like talk to people and make stencils and shit. But he's just an old Atlanta dude, and Britt, the drummer from Blackberry Smoke, is also, and his brother, they're just old Atlanta dudes, and they've just been friends forever. Right. And when we started doing stuff, when Chris was real into it, like the first EP, and he gave it to Britt, and over the next couple of years, like Britt like came and saw us play, and like was just being cool, and then like when we kind of like were like kind of really starting to like get our feet on solid ground, I feel like, as a band, like Britt just kind of started throwing us stuff, you know, just be like, hey, you guys want to do this cruise that we're going to do, or, you know, open this show for us. And just, he's just really fucking cool dude, man. You can tell that he's just, they did it the exact same way we're trying to do it now, you know, where they just like went to fucking work, and they just finally, like, people started to notice, and like, you know, people that like, you know, I think eventually like ZZ Top took them on tour, and then like Lynyrd Skynyrd took them on tour. And then that kind of helped that, you know, he's not, you know, ignorant to how much that helped them, you know, and he's just trying to like kind of pay it forward and do the same thing for young bands that he digs that are, you know, he's cool with and stuff. It's just, they're awesome dudes. And that's literally all it's about. It's just, they're not benefiting at all by putting us like on the bill.
Kindred spirits like that. Wow. And what you said too, that paying it forward, that's huge, man. Like when you've got that position and you're making it, and to put your hand out and say, hey man, come on guys, come with us. Like that shows what solid fucking brother right there.
Absolutely.
They're all awesome, dude. All
so you guys, what does the Brother Hawk name mean to you guys?
That also came from your parents.
Yeah. I my whole life is like my parents. They're just like the coolest fucking people ever on the face of the earth. And like, that's just something that like my parents would say. Like, they're just really in tune with nature. They love everything, and they instilled that in me. And like, if you would see a hawk, be like, "Brother Hawk flying over," and it always just sounded so cool to me. And that was just a band name I had in my pocket for a long time, and like wasn't ready to apply it to something until it was like worthy of it, I feel like.
Like one of the lyrics.
What's that?
Like one of your licks.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's just, you got to wait to the right time. You know, everything just kind of, I don't know,
comes together. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's your time right now?
Absolutely. I felt like that for a long time, and I just start to feel more and more like that. Everything we do, I feel more like that. And I think that's cool because I feel like, you know, we're, like I said, you know, we're a DIY band. We do everything on our own. And well, we just got a booking agent. I forgot. That's the thing we've been like pining for years. We just got a booking agent out of New Orleans, All In Touring. They've been really cool so far, but just like, it's just been this like low, slow, but constantly going up. Like, I don't feel like we've ever gone the opposite direction this whole time. And even if it takes another 10 years, as long as we're going the right direction, I feel good about it, you know?
That's sweet. Yeah, that's a wonderful position to have, because then you're always enjoying. There's no pressure.
That's what it's all about. I mean, that's like, we, you know, we, the things that we like want to achieve as a band, are, I feel like, are secondary to the fact that we just get to do it.
Yeah. You know,
we want to do it. And the things that we achieve are going to make it easier for us to do it. And I think that's what it's all about. But we would be doing it regardless.
Yeah, it's crazy to have that realization that you're doing the thing that you love, and then the thing that you love is in turn taking care of you.
Yeah, absolutely. We are very, very fortunate people, and it's not lost on us at all. Like,
no, that's evident. Yeah. So in having the chance to like get out there and tour and do your thing, man, like, obviously you're from Atlanta, so let's not say Atlanta, but like, is there a place that you guys love playing the most?
The most, maybe Greensboro,
either Greensboro or like maybe Asheville.
Greensboro and Asheville, like, we both just have like a bunch of really good friends in those cities.
Philly has been good.
Oh man, Philly is fucking awesome too. Like, Philly, this dude Justin from Philly just like has been begging us to come up there before we even like toured, before we even had a van or anything. And that was just one of the first places where like, I don't know, someone like wanted us to come that we couldn't come. You know what I mean?
They're just
like, up here, get up here. And when we finally did, like, they showed it, you know, like, it's every time we've been, it's been awesome. And they're just like hungry for it up there. It's just really cool.
I think you guys are going to find it happening more and more, man.
Yeah, we really want you to come to Portland.
Yeah, come to Portland, man.
We want to. Are you guys Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Portland, Oregon. I hope we're supposed to do West Coast stuff this summer. I don't know like how deep it's going to go, but I really hope like that by the end of this year or this time next year, there's not going to be anywhere that we haven't been yet. That's the goal.
Oh, Portland's a great music town. Great crowds here. Like 100% participation.
Yeah. No, you're not seeing 10,000 phones in the audience at all. You're seeing people fucking jamming, listening to music, man.
Well, we will see you guys sooner than later, hopefully.
Good.
I want to ask something. First of all, we already covered you're emotional and you're heavy with the music and the way you go back and forth. But the other thing too, especially talking to you guys now, you guys are fun. You're having fun doing this. You're funny. You guys go back a long way. And I'm looking at Instagram, as you mentioned it, and it took me. I just was looking at it. Y'all trying to eat?
God damn it.
It's an Instagram account they have as a band of them. Tell us about that.
we fucking like to eat. We like to have a good time. You know, if we're not having a good time, it's just like something's wrong. You know, we all love each other as friends, like very deeply. And like, it's just, we're excited to go get in the van, and we all like to eat good food and like drink good coffee and fucking eat desserts or whatever. So we decided to just document it one day. Maybe we could like get extra famous.
That's fucking
great.
Awesome.
Pictures of you guys
food
on
show
that
or something like that. Yeah. But no, like, we just, it just, something funny to do and
have fun with it.
Be shitheads and post funny stuff on the internet for our own entertainment.
All right, so y'all are famous now. What you gonna do with it?
Oh shit!
Let's hear it. Come on, I want to hear. I want to hear what the plan
What's the grand plan,
or at least a portion of it?
The grand,
you know, get a house. Comfortable house to live in.
I love it.
That's fucking cute, man. That's a house. I love it. A place to call home. I'm down with that.
A simple. I would like to not worry about things. That would be like the greatest thing. I feel like that doesn't exist, you know.
Yeah, but
I
that think doesn't exist.
Less about some things, you know.
Yeah.
That would be enough for me. If I could just get famous enough to worry a little less, I'd be really fucking stoked.
I think you and I have the same fucking mentality, man. I said to Melanie not long ago. I was like, I just want to like. Have it so that if we want to go out to dinner, it's not a big fucking deal, man. Yeah. And if a bill comes in, I just pay it. You know, that's I'm not asking for a lot. Shit, absolutely. Let's keep it
my
simple.
My shoes are falling apart, but I can just go get some new ones. You know,
no shit, man, no shit. So, you guys are coming out with a new album. When's it come out?
May 11th. Yes, May 11th.
May 11th, the Clear Lake. We're self-releasing, so it'll be digitally distributed, and then you can order CDs from our web store and then buy them in person, and that's pretty much it.
Cool. And so where can people that are listening find you guys, find out information besides YouTube?
RockATL.com.
Yeah.
It'll take you to everything we have, basically.
Cool. And we'll put links to that in the show notes and on the website and all that.
When I found looking to where I was listening to a lot of your guys' older stuff was on the Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, yeah.
Yeah. So like the three EPs that we did before Big Medicine, Big Medicine is just, with the exception of Half Empty, songs from those EPs, but like actually done well in a nice studio.
Yeah.
Like it was the first time we had the opportunity to do that. We've been playing all these songs and like there's a different drummer like on every record, you know. And at the time JC was going to be our drummer, the dude that's on Big Medicine, so we're like, okay, let's stop and like put a full length out for once of like, you know, this stuff that we're still really proud of, you know, the older things. We just like kind of don't like those recordings really, so that's why we did that. And then so that's why like also too, it's just being like unknown. And then as we started to, like you said, like kind of get noticed more, I didn't want people to come like be like, oh shit, I heard Brother Hawk's awesome. And then go listen to like some shitty old recording that we had like put out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of shelved that stuff. And like, so made it where like, if you want to hear what Brother Hawk is, you hear what we want you to hear. You know
what it really is, not what it was. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the whole idea behind that. And then so that's, we're really excited for this because this is like the first time we've put out a full length of all brand new material. And honestly, you know, I know it's weird to talk about your own stuff, but I guess that's what we're here to do. It's just on a different fucking level, you know? Like we've just really, in my eyes, come a really, really long way from like, you know, from when Alan joined the band. You know, Alan joined the band and we went and did 5 weeks in Europe like 2 months later.
Oh shit.
And I feel like that really, I feel like that just like really set just like this insanely solid foundation for what we were going to do after that.
Yeah. How was the reception in Europe?
It was fucking awesome, man. It was really fucking awesome. That was a great, great time. In Spain especially, it was like, oh man, the hospitality was unbelievable. These people were just so excited for us to be there, and we have friends that we made over there that brought us into their homes and cooked us dinner. I mean, it was just an unbelievable, you know, experience. I was about to say once in a lifetime, but I don't think that that's going to be the case.
No, you'll be going back for sure.
Absolutely. But it was just really unbelievable. It was awesome.
You know, guys, whenever you guys do come to Portland, we're going to hook up a dinner and have a family thing coming out for you guys. Yeah. So I hope you take us up on it when you come down.
I hope you really mean it because
we don't just say that. That's
like
for real.
Whether you like it or not, you know, we
fucking like to eat too, man.
Yeah, we're coming to town hungry. We King Pong, get out on the porch, fucking get something hot in the skillet. We're ready,
right?
Yes.
And you know what, man? Seriously, and this isn't, I'm not just saying this because of fucking recording. fuck that. Like, I want you guys to consider, like, this show for what it's worth and whatever we reach. Like, if you guys got something going on, you got something you want to talk about, you're welcome on here anytime, man. Like, consider this your home for your voice, you know?
That's awesome. We seriously appreciate that.
And I mean that shit, like, for real. So can we, as we go out with you guys, can we play one of your tunes?
Yes, please.
So which one do you guys want me to play as we go out?
Let's do the Clear Lake.
Okay, cool. Yes.
All right, man. Well, you guys got a home here, man. And when you come to Portland, come over, man. We'll hook you up with some good food.
Thank you so much. This has been really fucking awesome. We appreciate you guys having on.
We appreciate you guys too, man. And just keep at it, dude. And I meant what I said. Like, you guys are that for people out there. And I know it's weird to hear and it's a trip, but just own that shit, man, because you guys are fucking going somewhere amazing. And I'm excited to watch the ride.
Thank you. It is weird, but it's also like extremely fulfilling and wonderful to hear. So thank you for saying it.
Right on, brother.
And I will be sitting here anticipating May 11th with a six pack and sitting down to listen to the whole album when it comes out.
Heck yeah.
Hey, you guys can cut this part out, but we'll send you the link to the SoundCloud. You guys just jam it now.
Oh, sweet, because I want to hear that Black Dog.
Yes. Oh, thank you, guys.
You guys. Seriously, that like makes my heart feel so good, that story.
Good. Hey, that is literally the goal, the only goal. So good.
Right on, guys. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, and thank
we'll
you
play
so
out
much.
Thanks, Nick and JB. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I'll send you guys my number so you can stay in touch when you come to Portland, man.
Yeah, please do, man. Please do.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Peace.
Was fucking Brother Hawk, man. Holy shit. Couple of badasses.
Yeah, four badasses.
Yeah.
Five well, badasses with Dad on there.
Yeah.
That's, that, six that was badasses amazing. With Mom on there.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man.
It's cool to hear that, like, family is the thing. Like, the
his mommy.
What do you call that? The Genesis
him,
point.
His mommy
that.
And daddy got him. His shit so that he can fulfill his dream. And now he's fulfilling his dream and his mom gets to watch it. Do you know how special that is, JB? Oh my
god. Yeah, because it's happening with us with Sydney.
Your best friend
from
kindergarten.
Why I'm saying, like, I have such a different perspective now when I hear people talk about their mom and dad as inspirations, because I'm seeing my daughter living her beautiful dream and having the feeling as the parent that gets to watch the most amazing movie on HD that you could ever see, and you get to interact with the movie.
Yeah.
And so I think that JB, your mom is such a beautiful person, and your dad is amazing, and I am just, thanks for the interview, guys.
Yeah, that
thanks
was,
again.
That was great.
So everybody out there, if you haven't checked out Brother Hawk and you listen to this interview, now's the time when we're done to go turn on YouTube or download that album and buy it and support these guys, man. Help them get where they're going, because these are brothers that are doing it for real and doing it from the heart. And as a family, we need to support each other, and that's what it's all about. So,
and I suggest starting on YouTube with No Room to Rust. They will just knock your socks off.
Yeah. Yep. So follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road. Leave us those 5-star reviews on iTunes. It's important for the show, guys. Help us out. Go to the website. There's some shirts left and stickers, and you can subscribe to the newsletter there. Remember to hashtag your posts on Instagram and Facebook with the hashtag No Simple Road so that we can see each other and that this thing manifests in the real world as us showing each other who we are and getting to know each other and feeling together and included. And last but not least, remember the Patreon. Patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. It's where you can go to support the show. You can give as little as a dollar a month, man, and it gets us one step closer to that goal and that dream of seeing this being done full time and having a little more room in my head to create for you guys. So go and have a great week. We love you, and we'll see you next week for another one. Take care of each other. Give a smile to a stranger. Be well.
Enjoy the clear lake.
Love.
Osiris.
Hey, this is Chris Pandolfi from the infamous String Dusters, and this podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts, connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and music. Osiris works in partnership with Relix. Check them out for all kinds of new music, news, and information.
Osiris.